Hello, I'm Ian. Welcome to Creator Coco. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's creator and then C-O-C-O-A. In this episode, I talk to Boniface Munyoki about what we're reading, specifically Deep Work, S-E-I-P, how to read a book, and how to win friends and influence people. I hope you learned something that helps you become a better creator. This episode was brought to you by Fictionista. Fictionista is an app for writing, where new sentences, storylines, and characters can be magically suggested to you as you write, using the power of artificial intelligence. With Fictionista, it's easier than ever to create new worlds and write that story you've always wanted to write. No more writer's block. You can download Fictionista from the App Store or the Play Store, or go to Fictionista.club. That's Fictionista.club. So, yeah, some people, when we're talking about reading, they try to use it as a status symbol in some cases where you're saying, oh, look at me, I read so much. But also you mentioned something important, which is that it's also important to have depth when you're reading. So it's important to understand the things which you're going through. And this is something I've spoken about in the past, which is that it's important to reread books that you understand, that you like, and you think that are important to you. Because sometimes when you go through it the first time, you don't completely understand everything. So when you read something a few more times, you end up acquiring or absorbing more information that way. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the books which you think are foundational for you, which you think you have reread, which you think are important for someone to read and reread? So you can go in depth if you remember details about it, or you can just tell us in general the kinds of lessons you learned from the book, and things like that. So what are some books which you really like?
Cool. Also, before I just delve into that whole discussion, I think it's also important to point out that sometimes it's also just important to read books for the sake of reading, so that you can build a foundation or like a reading habit. So it's sort of like how it's very difficult to read a Leo Tolstoy book if you don't have some foundation. You'll find it very dry. You'll find it very difficult to read through. So sometimes, in as much as it's important to read the important books, sometimes it's okay to just build that foundation first. And I guess you build that foundation by reading entertaining books. Sort of like this Dan Brown, The Da Vinci Code, and his books. Like when I was younger, I really enjoyed them. They made me a better reader because I was enjoying the art of reading. And then as I grew old, I was like, Dan Brown books are crap. They're not properly written. I can't tear them apart visually. So it's important to also highlight that sometimes it's just nice to just read for the sake of like reading because it's fun. Books.
Now let me add something on top of that. So you mentioned something interesting there. Dan Brown books, that's actually how I also started when I was younger. Like I really loved Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, because I felt like it was a story, but at the same time, you were also learning history in the process, and you were learning about all this Italian history, the history about painters and Da Vinci, and all this scientific stuff. So I really loved those Dan Brown books because of that. And I also agree with you about you need to start somewhere. So it's important to also come across nonfiction or stories that you like, because those are also ways of acquiring knowledge and experience from other people. So that's okay, but I thought that was awesome that we both started with Dan Brown.
Before Dan Brown, Lanzana Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, okay.
The entire seven books. In terms wow. of important books, let's see, there's the ones that I can recall. It depends on like different facets of like my life. In terms of like work based things, there's this book I finished Deep Work. That was a difficult read for me. I read it by accident, sort of. There's a guy at work, he's super productive, and like he manages in one of these distributions, he's like one of the core package maintainers for a couple of projects. He works for us. And then outside us, he also does a bunch of other things in the free and open source space. So he's like an active contributor in so many different spaces. And to boot it off, he may be poached by some university as a postdoc. So we're having this conversation about AMC. How are you? How can you be able to do these things? Because me, sometimes I struggle, but I struggle. Like sometimes work is so overwhelming. And him, he seems to always have things in check. Like he do. You know, like when you're working on something and then someone just does something that seems impossible. Like at one point, our boss was more like, we don't need GitHub. We need to build our own CI/CD. We need to build our own CI/CD. We need to move our own issue trackers. Hizo vitu zenye mimi nakanga chini kwa like, nitaanza wapi? He always seems to find a way and his solutions are always elegant and nice way. So we're having this conversation about how, like, do you manage your time? How do you do things? How a lot of these things. And then he recommended Deepwork. So prior to him recommending Deepwork, I had tried reading that book, but I guess for me at the time it lacked a lot of context and the author was really forceful on his ideas because the tone he uses is do this, or else. And I don't like being bossed around, particularly when I'm reading. I like formulating my own opinions at the end of the book. So really, so my Deepwork in a very open-minded way. And so it had some really nice ideas. So that's one book I really like. Another book I really like, I was like three quarter way. I haven't finished it. It's a struggle. Alafu nimeanza kureread. Alafu nikireread, ina make so much more sense. Now this is outside work. Now this is computing, SICP, structured interpretation of computer programs. I haven't finished it, but then I can see why it's a big deal to a lot of people. Then I have to caveat that with this book needs some bit of context and a bit of determination. So let me explain. When you read SICP as an undergrad, a lot of these things won't make sense. It's like reading, imagine if there's a book called SQL Anti-Patterns. It actually exists. Reading it without having worked on SQL. It will have some really nice ideas, but if you read it when you're really green, it won't make sense because you're like, you just have information without the experience. With SICP, I really like it because they really go very deep into what makes a language a language. And then they approach it from first principles. Like where they start, they assume you do no programming, one. And then they work you up from what the elements of a programming language is, building an abstraction from those elements, which is functions, and then what you can do with functions, and then after functions, how to think about data, and then beyond data, how to work with data, and then they introduce object-oriented programming from how Alan Kay intended it to be. Where you just do things like message passing. And then they actually introduce special forms. And then finally, at the end of the book, I know you interpret, like you build your own interpreter from scratch and from first principles. And then the reason I find it so, like right now, a beautiful read, na naisoma tu polepole at my own pace, hata sijaharakisha, is, it enables me to like once in a while have this feeling of like the joy of computing. You see something or you work on something a certain way and you're like, yo, that's dope. Or once in a while, some people in some communities have shared a couple of papers they've been working on. And then I'm like, had I not known some things from SICP, understanding said papers would be so difficult, right? Yeah. So that's another dope book, SICP. Let's see
So let
another.
me now let me ask you a couple of questions. So when you say SICP, so I just want to confirm. So you mean this book called Structure and Interpretation of Computer Programs by Gerald J.
Sussman.
Oh, that's it,
And
right?
Yeah, and Harold Ebelson.
Yes, exactly. So, just manager. Okay, you're right. Now let's go back to the first book you mentioned, Deep Work, and it's a book I've just gotten right now because of your recommendation. It's a book I've heard about. I've even listened to podcasts by the author. He's called Cal Newport, and I've looked at the interviews, but I never actually read the book. So thank you so much for recommending that. It's gonna be my next one. What are some of the lessons you learned from Deep Work? About your own productivity and how did you implement them in your own life? What are some interesting lessons you are able to get from that book?
I've quit social media. I like deleted my Facebook. I deleted my the only social media I'm in is Twitter. And even in instant messaging, clients like WhatsApp, Telegram. I don't even use Telegram, like WhatsApp, which other one is there? WhatsApp. I only check WhatsApp in a time box way, like only twice a day. And it's a hard limit. Like I only check WhatsApp when I have to. And also, really thinking about, so in the book they discuss different like modes of working, right? Like where you have to work out, you have to work out a style of working that suits you particularly. So for me, I've noticed, especially when it comes to work, what I do is at the beginning of my day, or like not even at the beginning of the day, at the end of my, so just to go back a bit, Deep Work supplements, like it supplemented a workflow I already had, like where at the end, at the beginning of my day, I would ask myself like three questions. I'd be like, what am I grateful for? What would make today, no, what am I worried about? And what would make today great? So that will just like jumpstart my day, and then do work, and then at the end of my day, I'd be like, "How am I feeling?" And then when answering how am I feeling, I would use the feelings wheel. There's just Google it, feelings wheel. It helps you to articulate feelings well, because feelings are not thoughts. You can't say, "I feel like jumping." Like jumping is not a thought, it's an action. But you can feel sad, you can feel da 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 da. So how am I feeling? What did I do well today? What could I have done better? So now after reading the book, what I did was more like during my day, I would like time box myself. I'd be like, normally I'd be like, my entire morning, I will not do anything. I will not do anything. Other like the task I set for myself, I will only focus on that. I'm talking EDM, I'm sorry. Need to respond lunchtime. Imalize kazi yangu kwanza. And if it's that important, someone would call me. And then particularly because I work with guys who can't like call me on Safaricom or my Airtel, they'd find a way to reach me if it's that important. So just time boxing, alafu on social media could really reduce its usage. To the point where I used to have this habit where every time I go to the bathroom, I would carry my phone and watch YouTube videos. But nowadays, instead of carrying a phone, I'd carry like a paper or a book and then read it instead, substitute it with like my phone. Alafu sasa build up on that kidogo kidogo, build up on that a bit like over time. And then to make myself like accountable to myself, I started this new thing at the beginning of the year where I did a review of my week on my blog for my future self to read and reflect on. So I guess those are the biggest things for me from deep work, like chunking my time and remaining ultra focused for periods of time and training myself to do that. And then time chunking my time chunking my social media usage. And also I guess another one is it isn't well explored in the book, but it's supplemented by some other blog posts I can share later. Taking my rest as seriously as I take my work. Like I try as much as possible to not compromise on my rest. And then trying to work out in a very honest way to myself, like what rest is. like rest is not watching YouTube, at least for me, or like listening to music. Like, what is rest? Working that out. Like, our one for me is walking, particularly where there are a lot of trees and green stuff. That's rest. I'm trying to work that out. Yeah.
Awesome. You've said a lot of things there, which I'd like to get a bit more into. So one of them is that when you're first getting into social, when you're first getting into, you're looking at where can I free up time? Where do I have time that I can use to rest, as you've mentioned, or to be more productive? And one of the first things and the easiest ways to get back your time is by removing social media as much as you can. Social media is an amazing tool. It's completely changed how we interact together as human beings. So it's very powerful. But you have to be the one who's using social media and not the other way around. If you're smart about social media, it can be a tool for you. And it doesn't have to be a distraction, but you also need to be very conscious about how much time you spend. And one of the things which I feel has really helped me in that direction is a feature on the iPhone called screen time. So, and this is not something I've seen on Android yet, but screen time is this amazing feature that monitors all the time that you spend on all your different applications. It's like an inbuilt feature. So it's not something you have to turn on. It's like analytics. You go into your settings and you can see how much time you spent on YouTube, on WhatsApp, on different apps, and it actually works across all your devices. So even for apps on your laptop and other devices that you own. And the other thing that you can do on top of looking at those analytics is that now, after you've seen the amount of time you spend on each app, you can now block the app and prevent it from going past a certain time. So if you only want to use WhatsApp for 10 minutes every day, you set that time limit, and then at the end of that time, it's going to block you. And I really love that feature. It's truly amazing. I don't know whether you have come across it, whether you've heard about it, or whether you use it yourself.
I have a very weird stance on technology I use. I feel like I'm an old person using technology. But in terms of like screen time, there's something similar on Firefox, like where on sites like Twitter, there's like leech block. I don't know if you've heard of it, but the way you describe screen time is the same in like leech block, like where you tell leech block how to like what time you want to spend on a website in a day, right? So I like
Yes.
normally Twitter I have like 10 minutes, and then after 10 minutes it's just block start page. And then on YouTube I have this other plugin, I forget its name. It disables the recommendations, it disables autoplay, and it also disables what's this thing called, the comments. I also have another one on Twitter. It's called, I forget its name, but it blocks showing you the retweets, the numbers regarding retweets, followers, comments. So when I read Twitter, it just reads like an RSS feed. I just read the information.
I think that the plugin you're talking about is called DFTube, which I also use, the one for YouTube. It blocks certain parts, right? So you don't get distracted.
And also,
Okay.
this is a cool one. YouTube, nowadays I don't watch YouTube on my phone. I mean, I don't watch YouTube on my desktop. Most of the time, at least if it's leisurely watching YouTube, I watch it using this app called NewPipe, and it's on F-Droid, an alternative to Play Store. And I like NewPipe because you can I share my screen on my phone? At least you can see. Let's see. How do I do that? How do I? Ah, crap. I use a different profile. God damn, I don't think I can do that on my phone. Oh, even with WhatsApp, just it has also reminded me. Even like what I've done with WhatsApp is on my Android phone, on Android phones, you can create different profiles, right? So I just have a profile for WhatsApp. And then my main profile does not have any IM thingies except Matrix, because that I use for work. So anytime I have to like use WhatsApp, it's just more work. It discourages me from using like WhatsApp. But anyway, what I was saying about YouTube is I watch YouTube using this app called NewPipe, NewNEW, and then Pipe, PIPE. And then NewPipe has this really cool feature where you can subscribe to particular YouTube channels without creating an account. And then on your main homepage, you can tell NewPipe what to show. So like for me, I have some really entertaining YouTube feeds, and they usually talk about code in ways that suit my personality. And they are on my YouTube, like on my YouTube homepage. There's what's this thing called? There is like Anthony Writes Code. There's Arjan Codes. I just have particular channels that are on my home feed. So whenever I open YouTube, I just have those guys on their own entire page. Like on page one, it's Anthony Writes Codes. On page two, on another tab, I think they're called tabs. Another tab, it's another person. Another tab, it's another person. And I also follow Mkuru. Supporting Kenyan content. And also like on that whole conversation on social media and consuming information, a new development in my workflow is I'm substituting social media with mailing lists. And then I found a way of using mailing lists without the mail coming to my email, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So, and then with mailing lists, so how I consume news is more like my primary way of consuming tech news is just like mailing lists. Like I've subscribed to the Linux kernel mailing list, Geeks, and a bunch of other ones. So once in a while, unapata information in one of these things that uko like kitu hawezi pata kwa documentation, it's nowhere online. Which is cool. And then you get to learn how to communicate and to be nice to people in online spaces.
But like apart from technology being the problem that we need to solve, like if you want to become more productive, technology can also be the solution. If you go out and look for these apps, like things like NewPipe and all these different plugins, like look for ways that you can use technology to help you avoid overusing technology. Don't just let yourself be like dragged by the algorithms, right?
Yeah, software freedom. The technology, I feel like, is sort of like a double-edged sword in the sense of it's nice that people are trying to come up with all the solutions to solve different problems. But then at the end of the day, particularly as an end user, I usually ask myself, okay, why am I in this equation? And most of the times, I usually feel as if I'm like a product of a given space, right? And then it's sort of like why I'm noticing, particularly like with older people who've been in this space for a while, they're like the last people to use a new piece of fancy software. They'll be like they're very resistant to using new software, particularly if it's closed, or particularly if it leaves behind a walled garden. So as a case study, one would be like say Medium, the Medium, one for writing articles, right? I remember like when it first came, and these guys were like, oh, it's free, can use it, da 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 da. I remember there's a lot of backlash back then where people were like, hey, this thing, I have to make money eventually. Like something has to give. And then fast forward, I don't know how many years later. And right now, in some articles, you have a limit. They impose restrictions on you unless you have like a subscription. Some of the school of thought, particularly with technology I use, if it's not free, if it's not something I can actually go and download its source code and read it. And in addition to reading it, it has to have like a permissive license. I doubt, and this is a strong, very opinionated, I may be wrong. This is just how I choose to live my life. I won't use it. I won't use it actively. If I don't have its source and if it doesn't have a permissive license, I won't spend a lot of time on it. But those are just like my opinions with technology.
I think it's a negotiation that the businesses who are coming up with these solutions have to make. Like you have to decide how much ease do I want to give the user? How much money do I want to make? Because I also see the other way around. If Medium is providing with you with a way of, if there's people who are getting value out of it, then I think it's not such a bad idea. But maybe some people don't fall into that target market at the same time. I also wanted to ask, in a general sense, how do you usually access your books? Like, do you usually read physical books? Do you do podcasts, audiobooks? How do you read the books that you read?
That's a good question. I used to have a Kindle, and then I moved to a Kobo. And then I just noticed that it's as if, like, over the years, I've been conditioned. Like, a lot of e-things I use are very distracting other than my operating system. So this year experimented. This year, the beginning of the year, I experimented with getting physical books. And it worked. Like, I noticed I've been reading way much more. It's more expensive, it's more pricier, but it's a price I'm willing to pay. I prefer physical books to electronic books or, like, to audio books. Because one thing I'm noticing with physical books, like, currently I'm reading this book called About Love by Bell Hooks. And the idea is, after I finish this book, it's a physical copy, I'm going to hand it over to my partner. See, the physical book, I can write notes, I can doodle on the side, I can be like, start things that I find important. Now, when I share this with them, they'll be like, they can know what stood out for me. And also for my future self rereading this book, when I reread it and when I'm skimming it, I can see where I highlighted and make extra notes. So yeah, I'm a big fan of, at the moment, I'm a really big fan of physical books over ebooks. And even when reading papers, because I also feel, in addition to reading books, particularly in the tech space, I feel like there's value in reading some papers that were published. Even with papers, I download them and then I print them. And then I read them when they're, like, in a physical form.
I see. So for me, I completely understand where you're coming from. And there's value in having physical books. There's even, like, a sentimental value. Maybe you like the copy, or it's someone gave it to you, or you want to gift it to someone, as you've mentioned. But for me, I swing in the other direction of, for me, I want to download this information into my brain as conveniently as possible. So I combine all of them at the same time. I make sure that I read physical books, but I also do a lot of podcasts, and I also do a lot of audiobooks. And especially audiobooks, that's the one I want to double tap on. Because one feature that is in audiobooks that is really amazing is or even in podcasts that is really amazing, is the ability to times two, or to fast forward the listening that you're doing. Sometimes when you're reading at your own pace, and it can be hard to, like, get the individual letters. Sometimes you have to think about words or what the words are meaning. But when someone is speaking this information into your ears, and they're doing it at times too, so that your brain can actually end up absorbing that information. And the result of that is, using Audible, I have been able to read way more books and get through way more ideas than I would have if I was only doing physical books, because I think that would have been a much slower process. Have you used Audible before? Have you heard about it?
I've seen it in YouTube advertisements. But then, like, do you have, like, a subscription?
Yeah, so it's a bit expensive, I think, in terms of like, the money to the book ratio, because for about 1500 Kenyan shillings, or I think it's about $15 a month or something like that, or $14 a month, they give you one credit, which allows you to buy any book that you find on Audible every month. So in a year, they give you 12 books, but you're paying, I think, 1500 for each book. But the cool thing is that you can select any book in their library. And what that means is, I have been able to access books which I don't think I would ever have found any other way. Because right now you've mentioned a book called Deep Work. And what I did was, I just went to Audible. I had one credit for this month, and I spent it on getting that book called Deep Work. And that means later tonight, I can start listening to it immediately on times two. So yeah, ooh, so I like cool. Audible because of that. So I'm trying to recommend audio books as well for you. I know in the past maybe the experience wasn't that good, But nowadays, it's a very amazing way of learning. So you can combine that with actually reading physical books. Even me, I do the same thing. And then you can even double or triple the amount of knowledge that you're getting through these books.
I think I can just like try it out. I can try it out like Kidogo too, because with like audiobooks I gave it a shot. I think it was like 3 years ago, but 3 years ago I think the apps that were there, they were not there, and then the quality of the audiobooks were not quite there for me. And then I noticed that I like writing a lot, right? So I noticed that the art of reading also makes you like a better writer. So I guess I gave up on audiobooks, but I think I can give it a shot and check Audible. Although I wish they had like an unlimited subscription thing going on. Oh, speaking of another book I would recommend, I'm almost done with the book, but then I put a pause because I want to get a physical copy as well. Is this book by Philip Montgemer? It's called How to Read a Book. It has some really nice ideas. Although you have to skip over some chapters because that book was written in the 50s, I guess. I like that book because it really challenges how you think about reading.
Yes. Also, and to add on top of that, is that the reason why we are talking about reading, and we were saying you need to form this habit of reading, is because in some of the books that you're talking about, when you read them, they can actually change the direction that your life was going in, right?
True.
Okay.
In such a profound way. So what about you? Like, what are the most meaningful books you've read so far that you can like recall? And also just before you go on that tangent, another one that I've read and finished and I want to reread again because I feel like a lot of lessons I winned zimepotea is The Art of Nonviolent Communication, The Art of NVC. Yeah, it's a dope
The
book
Art of
because
Nonviolent Communication.
the exact title is Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life. It's by Marshall Rosenberg. It has like one of those crap titles I don't like, but I would recommend it because it really teaches you how to communicate in a very clear way and also to listen. Yeah, that's another
Okay.
book I would recommend. And
Nonviolent
then
Communication, A Language of Life. Okay.
Rosenberg by Rosenberg, and then I guess it's one of those books that don't need to be hierarchical ones.
So for me, one book which I think everyone should read because it'll make the world a better place. And for some reason, some of these ideas, they seem like common sense, probably, but people don't really take the ideas in this book to heart. And if they did, they would have more friends, they would do better in business, they would basically have a more fulfilled life. And the book I'm talking about is called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a book that was written a long time ago and it's been around, but I'm not sure that a lot of the ideas in that book are ideas that people practice. And How to Win Friends and Influence People is basically a how-to on how to interact with other human beings, how to be thoughtful, how to basically take the other person's position in arguments, how to have empathy. How to know how to connect with people. So how to make friends and then how to influence them or how to get what you want from other people and how to give them what they want in order for you to get what you want and for you to understand that relationship. The reason why I'm saying this is that a lot of people don't understand these ideas, although they've been there for a long time, is because even with my daily interactions with people and how they run their own businesses or how people interact with me on social media, people really don't understand the other people's perspectives sometimes when it comes to human interaction. So it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think it completely changed how I see society and how I interact with people. And it has helped me tangibly improve my life drastically in every sense of the word, in terms of making more money, in terms of having more friends, in terms of having a more successful business. The ideas in that book are fundamental. And I'm wondering, have you ever heard about it? Have you Have you checked it out?
I've read it. I have a funny story with that book. I read it in high school. I read it again in university. And then this year, my older sibling had my younger sister read it. And that, I guess I will eventually like reread it. It's a nice read. It has really nice ideas, but I feel like there are a lot of nuances to that book, and I feel like it's the kind of nuances that take some sort of like experience per se. Like one of them would be the ideas in that book are dope, but then I usually feel like, especially like the winning friends, from what you've just said, what I've heard you say is this book is mind-changing. It can change the course of someone's life, because it really teaches someone how to interact with other people for the greater good. Is that correct?
Yes.
Like in summary.
Yeah, like if you internalize the ideas and you actually put them into practice and try them out in real life.
So I agree with that fully. The only addition I would add to that is, and this is, I guess, is experience and also supplementing knowledge with other things, is I find it difficult for someone, even with the best intentions, to apply concepts from that book if your internal self is in turmoil, in the sense of I figure like a good step to being a positive influence in the universe is getting to understand yourself better, like who you are, and learning to build a very healthy relationship with yourself first. And I think, I'm not sure he tackled that in his book, or if it was touched on, I can't quite recall, but I don't think a lot of time was spent on that, because you can do all these things, make more friends, make more money, be a better communicator, but at the end of the day, I feel like it's lossy if you don't have a good relationship with yourself, and if you don't work on building that and becoming more self-aware. And I mean, as an example, like what makes you tick, right? So one of the things I remember, Dan Carnegie, he says, particularly when talking to other people, is being more empathetic. Like this ratio of when you're having a conversation with people, a lot of people tend to want to be listened to. A lot of conversations are usually like, I. Few people want to listen what the other person are saying. Conversations tend to be arguments, and he provides solutions to them. And I feel like if you take that concept, like where he tries to teach you how to listen to someone more and to communicate back, so that you can have a more meaningful conversation as opposed to an argument. If you worked on that aspect of self-awareness, knowing what makes you tick, knowing where you're at. And as I've got learning, for example, you want to have a conversation with someone wants to have a conversation with you, don't feel like it. You'll be like, I'm not, and you'll be graceful about just saying no to having that conversation at that time and postponing it to another time. That's the one addition I would add to that book.
Yeah, there's a whole other universe of understanding yourself as well, apart from how you interact with other people. Us ourselves are also things that we need to study. You need to understand how you can be in the present. You need to understand your emotions and your thoughts, and you need to also observe those kinds of things about yourself, right?
Yeah, learning how you learn, taking care of yourself. I guess this year that's one of the things I've been prioritizing on. Just like working on myself.
Okay.
In a very, yeah.
Same for me.
Yeah.
And there's another book I'll recommend for you that is also life-changing, was also life-changing for me in addition to that one. It's called The Power of Now. It teaches you that you're not like a lot of the times when you're just chilling or trying to live your life, there's a voice in your head constantly telling you stuff, giving you judgments, opinions, thoughts, like random ideas from the past or the future, anxiety, things like that. And what the Power of Now talks about is basically the idea that you are not those thoughts. A lot of the times, like most of the people, like 90% of people who are walking around believe in their head that they are that stream of thoughts that is going through their head. But what this book teaches you is that you can now become the observer of those thoughts. And as much as I'm saying these ideas with words right now, and it can be not easy to understand what I mean, in your mental space, when you actually try to observe that voice and listen to what it's thinking, in the beginning, it's very difficult to get out of that kind of mental space. But once you do, you realize there's a clear separation between who you are internally, like at the core of your personality, and the thoughts that come in. So that now when the thoughts come in, you're actually looking at them and you're looking, oh, this thought came in, and then the thought goes out. In that way, you have much more control about how you feel because you're also observing your feelings. And it's much easier for you to take control over your life. So, and also things like meditation and stuff like that also helps you. So have you heard about the Power of Now, or do you do any form of meditation?
Yeah, I meditate daily. So it's like when you talked about the Power of Now and how you described it, like trying to be in the present and realizing that thinking about the past may open you up to guilt or worry, and thinking about the present may also present anxiety, and also trying, or like the art of trying to be in the present makes you realize how much lack of control you have and how freeing it can be when you absolve yourself of a lot of worries and yet unajekelelea. Yeah, this seems like a lot of meditation practice, which is dope. Recommend it to anyone.